Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
All right, let's talk about some teams with some quarterback needs, and we'll talk what direction you, Matt Harmon, think they should go in. And again, we'll start with the Texans. They've got Davis Mills, who, look, I think Davis Mills has certainly exceeded expectations. And I think he will be a fine backup quarterback for like the next 10 to 12 years, right? He's probably going to be a coach at some point too. Mm-hmm. Davis Mills, he just has that look about him.
He looks like a coach.
But certainly they're going to have a big time need. At quarterback, they pick number 2 overall, unless they want to flip spots there with Chicago and protect themselves a little bit, because Chicago apparently shopping the number 1 overall pick. They're obviously, I'm assuming the Texans now will go in a youth movement. But what are your thoughts here with the Texans and what they should do at the quarterback spot?
Well, I think these first two teams, we can kind of group them together because I think they're both teams that need rookies, and they're playing the same division in the Texans and the AFC, and in the AFC South, along with the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC South. And I think both of these teams are definitely headed for rookies if we're picking between our rookie veteran exercise here. And, the Colts, freaking Jim Irsay has said it. You know, he's been like, we need a rookie quarterback. You know, they're done with the veteran quarterback thing. And you know, obviously the Texans are going to have to sit there and be, you know, like, this is the Lovie Smith thing, right? They're like, well, we're going to fire Lovie Smith, and Lovie Smith's like, well, I'm going to win one more game and get you out of the number one pick. So now you're kind of in a spot where if you're Houston, you got to be kind of looking over your shoulder with the Colts there at 4. Cause then the Colts have to sit there and think, do we want our guy or do we want to risk the Texans also liking our guy? And then we have to not only not get the guy, but see this guy play, see him twice a year. You know, that's really a spot where I think that might incentivize the Texans to be like, hey, Chicago, you know, what do we got to do here? Like, do you want our second and our third to jump up one spot just to ensure like we get to the number one pick? What do you want? Like, basically. But yeah, I think both of these teams will have rookie quarterbacks come next year. And it'll be really, I think it'll be interesting to see which guy they like, you know, between the two of them. Is it the Bryce Young thing where, you know, he's a smaller player? Isn't it funny? You just went through a weight thing, right? Like with the whole, with your fight, you know, you had to lose a bunch of weight for it. Isn't it this whole Bryce Young, like, what's he going to weigh thing in Indianapolis? Who cares? So what if he goes to the combine and weighs 205 because he, you know, ate cheeseburgers crazy, and drank milkshakes and drank just an absurd amount of water that morning, you know, like so much water that he could be pissing for weeks. Yeah. He's never going to play at that weight. Who cares what he weighs? Like, if you are worried about the weight, you should be worried about the weight no matter what he weighs into the combine, because that is not his real weight.
No. And he looks, you saw the picture with him and Mina Kimes, right?
Oh yeah. I feel bad that Mina's like at the center of this whole thing. And she's like, I was wearing heels. You know, I was wearing heels. But
you know what? It's not just the heels though. It's not just the heels. We know Mina Kimes is small, dude. And it's not like, and I'm talking about frame wise, like forget about height. I know she's tall for a girl or whatever. Fine. She's wearing heels. Maybe she's wearing 6-inch heels. Fuck, great. I don't care so much about the height. We know he's going to, you know, be in that 6'2" range. That's fine.
Yeah.
But the weight, man.
6'2". He's not, you mean like 5'10"? He's gonna be like 5'10".
Oh, sorry. I meant 6 foot. So I said 6'2". Yeah. I meant 6 foot. He's going to be in that 6 foot range.
He wishes.
Yeah, no. 6'2". Yeah, yeah, no. He's going to be in that 6 foot range. Sorry. But no, it's not the height. It's the weight. Like, they look like not that far apart in weight. And Mina Kimes is not big, dude. She is rail thin. Why is Bryce Young looking that thin? That's crazy to me. And I do think that's a legitimate concern, man, because like I know quarterbacks get protected in the NFL, but boy, it just takes one Aaron Donald shot, dude, for you to get banged up. Now, and again, look, like you could look at somebody like Kyler Murray or whatever it might be, you know, smaller quarterbacks that have done pretty well. But
you mean a guy who's injured every year?
Well, there is that as well. But man, I thought that picture next to Mina, where again, they look like they had the similar coat size is a little bit problematic to me. I don't know.
I agree with you. For a while I was kind of like, you know, height doesn't matter for quarterbacks, but now I'm kind of on like, you know what? It's good to be able to see over the offensive line. You know, I mean, with the way Kyler's not really like progress as an in-structure quarterback, with the way Russell Wilson has declined so much with his athleticism declining. And you know, I mean, Bryce Young is definitely not going to work out. He's already said he's not going to work out at the combine, of course, because he's going to be packing on the pounds at you know, Popeyes before Popeyes, Burger King, you make all the stops, Taco Bell, hit them all up on the way to the weigh-in. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to be out there running the 40 after a Crunchwrap Supreme. Right. He's not running the 40-yard dash. So I don't know what his athleticism is going to look like. Like, I don't know. Is he a Kyler Murray athlete? Is he a Russell Wilson athlete? Anyways, point being, like, what these, like, two, like, again, the Colts have to kind of worry, like, I mean, it'd be great if they found out, like, the Texans like Bryce Young and we don't like Bryce Young, but, you know, we want to draft, and I think Chris Ballard's usually, like, a pretty big, like, size, speed
measurable
type of
dude,
yeah, he's totally a measurables GM, so... maybe they like a CJ Stroud or a Will Levis instead. But yeah, I think either way, these two teams, Colts, Texans, are definitely in the market for a rookie quarterback. And I think they will be kind of competing and jockeying with each other to see who can get in position to get that guy.
Okay, so now the Raiders pick 7th. They're obviously in the market for a quarterback as well. Early on in the process, there was all these rumors of Aaron Rodgers potentially reuniting with Davante Adams there in Las Vegas. But what direction should they go in? I thought Jarrett Stidham could be an interesting bridge quarterback. Again, he's not the long-term answer. I know that for sure. I guess I shouldn't say for sure, but he doesn't profile as
probably
a guy that's going to be, probably not going to be a long-term answer there. But I thought he had some moments. I thought he could, you know, make a few throws here and there. And to me, he reads like a great bridge quarterback. But what direction should Las Vegas go in, you think there, Matt?
I think of all these teams that I have on the list that have a major quarterback need, the Raiders are kind of the toughest one to read because it's funny when you think about it, right? Like, the Raiders have a desperate quarterback need. Well, who's the best free agent available at the quarterback position? The Raiders' former quarterback. You know?
So, that's funny. Right.
That's tough, right? Are you going to go for a second year in a row, go trade major draft assets for a disgruntled Packers player in Aaron Rodgers? I mean, I guess, but that comes with and I think Rodgers is the only veteran available that would give them better quarterback play than they got in 2022. For
I
sure.
agree.
I mean, but that comes with a lot of future complications, like how much draft capital do you give up? How long is he going to play? A lot of things going on there, because like they could go the Jimmy Garoppolo route, but what's his
God,
ceiling?
I hope they
like,
don't.
What's Jimmy Garoppolo's ceiling? You know,
look, is Jimmy Garoppolo without Kyle Shanahan, is he legitimately better at this point in his career than Jarrett Stidham? I ask that in all honesty.
But you have to remember too, he does have familiarity with Josh McDaniels as well. Like I think he'd be a pretty decent fit in like a quick strike passing offense. But man, the Raiders were like kind of they want to push the ball down the field. Like Davante Adams had a higher air yards per target in his first year with the Raiders than he did in either of his last two seasons with the Packers. You know, they push the ball vertically to Davante Adams. You know, I mean, if Jimmy's back there, guess what? Our guy Hunter Renfrow better be playing snaps over Mac Hollins this year, right? Because he's going to catch 100 balls with Jimmy Garoppolo right. playing quarterback, throwing passes over the middle, short passes over the middle. But again, even in a best case scenario, I'm probably a little bit higher on Jimmy outside of the 49ers ecosystem than you are, but not that much higher. Like, again, I think his ceiling could maybe be the 20th best quarterback in the NFL, which I think you could have had Derek Carr been the 20th best, for sure the 20th best quarterback in the NFL.
That's
so
true.
That's why I kind of think, like, do the Raiders, are they also a rookie team? Are they also a team that's going to go take a guy in the top 10 of the draft? Because, but then you're starting your clock weirdly with how, you know, Adams, like, you made this big trade for him. Where's your window with that? You're bringing in this rookie. When is he going to be better than Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes?
Right.
Probably never for Mahomes. Maybe in a couple years he's better than Herbert. So it's just, I think they're in a weird spot, the Raiders are, of all these teams.
Hey, everyone. This is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So for me, I think the Raiders should go veteran, but I think they just go all out and try to, you know, bring in Rodgers. Now, I understand that today, and we're recording this Tuesday afternoon, at some point the Raiders indicated more to the fact that they probably can't afford Aaron Rodgers, which I understand, but we're taking some of the financials out of it. But let's say they do that. I think their path becomes pretty clear, right? The 2023 draft becomes all about defense. Free agency becomes all about defense. All the money that you're going to spend, all the available cap dollars you have, and I don't know how much will be left over after you bring in Aaron Rodgers, but anything you've got available, you've got to go get veteran defensive pieces. Everything, every draft capital that you have remaining in 2023 needs to be spent on high quality defensive players. Because on the offensive side of the football, I think they're fine. You bring in Aaron Rodgers. I love the pass catching duo of Hunter Renfrow and Davante Adams. I don't know where Darren Waller is at mentally or physically for that matter. But, you know, again, if he's back with the team and if he's right, what a trio of pass catchers that is potentially there for Las Vegas. I think they're fine offensively. So if they go all out and try to bring in Aaron Rodgers, I think the offseason plan becomes very clear for them, which is, by the way, that's pretty nice. That'd, you know, that's nice, pretty nice to have. If you're a GM for the Raiders, because a lot of times teams just have needs on both sides of the football. You bring in Aaron Rodgers, I think the Raiders are kind of pretty much set it and forget it offensively. I think they're good enough talent-wise to compete with just about darn near any team in the NFL. But then defensively, boy, defensively, they still got a ways to go. And I think that is why it becomes very clear what their offseason plan would be if they get Rodgers. Now, maybe Rodgers comes back from his darkness retreat, and, you know, his psychosomatic stuff. Like, maybe he doesn't want to go there. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to go there.
Yeah. Or he doesn't want to play football at all. I think that's
sure. Possible. That there's also that. Maybe he's going to go shrooming. I don't know. Let's, you know, got to keep the door open on all these things. I don't know.
what's more fun, shrooming in a cabin in the woods or being the Raiders quarterback or working with Josh McDaniels? I'm not sure. I think I might take the cabin in the shrooms.
Exactly, that's exactly right. So I'm not sure what direction Las Vegas goes in, but I will say this: if they don't go after, if they swing and miss on Rodgers, you're right. They're in a very, they go from a very clear offseason plan to very murky. Like, I don't know what they do. At 7 overall, and you look at the teams in front of them, they'll actually have a very good chance to take one of the top 3 quarterbacks, barring a trade or anything like that, or barring, you know, Seattle or something, maybe potentially going for a quarterback who, and by the way, Pete Carroll has also indicated that they may try to go quarterback at 5. And bring Geno Smith back, which I think actually would be very smart, you know, team building for the Seattle Seahawks. But neither here nor there. I think Las Vegas at 7 will be in position, I think, to take a one of those top three quarterbacks. So we shall see. Another team that is in the mix for the former Raiders quarterback in Derek Carr. How about the New York Football Jets? J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Also in the market for Aaron Rodgers as well. I guess I'll ask you. I mean, I would assume that the Jets here are basically all in on going veteran.
They have to be a veteran team. You know, I know that Joe Douglas said today, like, we're still high on Zach Wilson. We still believe he can reach his ceiling.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it. It's like, come on, dude.
Yeah, you can go ahead and ignore anything the Jets say about Zach Wilson pretty
exactly.
much from here.
Exactly.
From about November to now. You can ignore that. We've known since, yeah, like middle of last season that they were going to need a veteran quarterback. Obviously, they could be a Rodgers team as well. You know, Nathaniel Hackett, mm-hmm. Rodgers' Jeopardy buddy / maybe punching bag friend, perhaps maybe third in the line there. He's like, you know, he's there. So maybe there's a connection as well. It would be great to see Rodgers with all those cast of characters in New York. Yeah. Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, you know, Breece Hall when he's healthy. They've obviously got dudes there. They've got some guys on the offensive line coming back healthy. Elijah Vera Tucker, Mekhi Becton potentially. Obviously a little bit more of a risky one on that end. But regardless, they've got pieces in New York. They could be a Derek Carr team. I think even if they swing and miss on those two, then you sort of get into the Jimmy Garoppolo connection with Robert Saleh. You know, you'd still think that, like, you know, Nathaniel Hackett's probably going to want to bring in some version of, like, the – you know, LaFleur offense. There's enough connected tissue there that I think they'd be a Jimmy Garoppolo team. But, you know, again, Jimmy, can he stay healthy? I think that's the biggest thing with Jimmy Garoppolo is, like, if you're going to bring him in there, is he going to start 17 games? And then if you get to week 10 and Jimmy's starting to break down, are you throwing Zach Wilson back in there? I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, if you get Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers, you probably slam the door shut on any more Zach Wilson stuff. But I think right. if you get Jimmy Garoppolo or any tier below that, then you're starting to get into the, okay, you know, are we potentially going to see more of Zach Wilson for the Jets? And I think they'd rather avoid that despite what they say.
Yeah, I'm not buying anything that the team says on Zach Wilson at this point anymore. But if they do go in a veteran route, and let's say they go Derek Carr, let's say they end up with Aaron Rodgers, pie in the sky, like home run, they get Aaron Rodgers, which would be great. Then they could actually try the business of actually trying to move Zach Wilson as well and trying to recoup some kind of draft capital. No, I know. But yeah, I mean, what's the point of having Zach Wilson on that team even at that point, right? Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Well, apparently him and Rodgers, like, are buddies in some weird way, or like they've texted, they've conversed. So, they could at least stick around and do some sort of lip service as like, oh yeah, Rodgers is going to be
he's going to
help develop. Yeah. Oh yeah. Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers has
Zach
never
Wilson.
Mentored anyone. What are you talking about?
Rodgers, I think actually in the conversations that have come out about him and Zach Wilson, like why they talk or they talk and what's come out of it is like, he said, why do you spend so much time at the facility? Like you spend too much time there working and stuff like that. That's been Aaron Rodgers' advice to Zach Wilson, which if you're Aaron Rodgers, you can get away with not being at the facility because you're ungodly gifted at this game. Zach Wilson, maybe you want to put a little more work.
Exactly. By the way, it's so interesting too that Rodgers would say that, because like the great Jerry Rice was like, I remember he was like back in the facility, like I think like 5 days after they won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like Jerry Rice was an absolute workout fiend. Like he loved being at the facilities. And I know he's been one of the people that when they talk about, you know, limiting the offseason program, he's like, oh, okay, well, I mean, I guess you can, but you're not going to be as good. You know, so it's kind of an interesting point of view, I think, from Rodgers.